Hey, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Good night.
And I can't have a fourth meal.
Me neither.
I've been a fat, disgusting animal. You look good.
I've been on my shit. I'm down 7 pounds.
How much were you up?
I got up to 209.
And what was your lowest that you were at?
190.
Oh shit! You were a fucking disgusting fat slob mess.
Yeah.
And now what are you back down to? 202.
I'm back to 203.
All right, good. I like us the same.
209.9.
203.9.
No. I was at 209.9. Then I was like, no! Don't you dare.
And what was your starting weight? Like 240?
A while ago. The day when I started 40 degrees? Yeah, 240. Yeah.
All right. So you're getting under control, though.
No, I'm good.
You look
good
again. We have a lot to talk about. Thank you very much. There's a lot to get to. But hold on. Before we do anything,
okay.
I just want to shout out our friends at Squarespace.
Oh, Squarespace. That's what I was going
to
do.
Okay, good. So shout out to squarespace.com. If you go there and use the code WANEP, they'll hook you up with something amazing. If you're trying to build a website, maybe have a store. If you want something simple, easy, and amazing. I've been getting tweets at Rosenberg Radio. People hit me up, and they've been like, yo, I did Squarespace. And I'm like, yo, my man, those are our people. If you're going to work with Squarespace, we support this. At them.
Yeah.
Let Squarespace know.
Let them also know.
That you're building a website, you're building it simple with Squarespace, and you're supporting the Juan Epstein podcast.
Thank you.
So if you want a website, you want a store, you want a blog, whatever you need, go to our friends at squarespace.com. Not only is it a great, easy way to do a website, but they support Juan Ep. And use that code Juan Ep. Squarespace, build it simple. Sife, you wanted to come out of the gate. Before we get to DJ Paul, what
DJ
did you
Paul
want to tell
is
us?
Here.
Yeah, he's here.
My boy, my brother. But I got to just settle something real quick. Something that we've been... That I notice is more my fault than our fault. You hit me up the other day.
Very rare that is said on the show.
Yeah, you hit me up, said Rashad Tumbling Dice Smith wanted to talk.
Yes.
I automatically, instantly knew what it was
about. Of course you did.
We tell a story. Well, sorry. I tell a
Way
story.
To tell you. There you go.
About an incident he had with Diamond D at a record convention years ago. And he had a problem with that. Because he said, why do you keep telling the same story over and over and over and only saying one part of the story and basically taking malicious shots at me?
Huh.
And I instantly felt like a fucking asshole.
Well, because in your mind, did you think, why? I never thought about it that way?
Not in the least. And I told the guy, I was right away, extremely sorry. I am a person who doesn't like beef. Doesn't like drama, doesn't like fucking shit being said bad about somebody. And I constantly tell that story like it's all good. And I realized...
People hear the story.
Exactly. Right. He says people call him about it, and it's like...
And you're like, why do they listen to the show?
Yeah, why? He listens to it.
Oh.
And the story comes out, he's in front of his wife and his kids.
Oh, and it's like, my God. That's like, you are an animal.
And he said he squashed it with Diamond right after that. So why am I bringing it up 20 years later?
The more that I think about it, you really are a piece of shit. He's right.
A fucking shit. But, yo, listen, I told him it's a story that it's a small, tiny, niche story of a beef over a sample at a record convention. That's as nerdy as hip-hop as you can get.
Right, right.
And I think it's become, in my mind, it's become part of the WANEP folklore.
To dig up stories like that.
Right, and to the one that I know, that maybe Riz or somebody, a DJ told me that was there.
Don't drag Riz into this.
Yeah, Riz did it. It's all Riz and Lord Finesse's fault. But so somebody told me, and I was like, ooh, I got a cool story that no one knows about.
And right.
Talking, bringing, dragging this man's name through the mud, who I respect.
Great producer.
Who has incredible beats that we grew up on.
Good man in general.
I never met him.
Nice
on the
guy.
Phone. Great guy. Cool dude. Explained himself thoroughly. And I was like, I'm embarrassed to have even... had this conversation come up. I wish we would have talked to each other on a more friendlier level, met on a friendlier level. Cool dude, accepted my apology, wants to do the show.
Boom.
And I want to say that I would like to clear up any misunderstanding of me being a fuckface to this man's name.
Yes, good.
When it was unnecessary. And I told him, I am known in this game for squashing beef.
Yeah.
When I see two people, I don't even have anything. My goal in life would be to squash the Meek Mill Drake thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just love...
It's not going to work out.
It's not going to happen. But I just love that I love bringing people together, man. And it's my philosophy in life. And why was I, in this particular case, dragging this man's name through the mud? So I apologize profusely to Rashad Tumbling Dice Smith. And I would love to have you on the show. Don't even have to bring this up anymore. We'd love to have you on the show because you're an incredible producer.
Now you're going too far.
And your contributions to hip hop are amazing.
No, I agree with that part 100%. But stop kissing the guy's ass.
Yeah.
No,
well, I don't know. I've never seen him. No. Is he big? Could he fuck me up?
Yeah, probably. No, he's a good dude. And it's funny, you know, I take responsibility too because I have met him. And I still didn't ever think about the fact that the story had a negative, major negative part.
I just think
it's years ago. So like, whatever, but that's still annoying. So I also co-signed that apology. I'm sorry that Sife's such an idiot.
And he said he called around and asked about me. Everybody's like, nah, Sife's a good dude. Why would he do that?
That's why I'm glad it's better you than me. Because he would call people about me like, Rosenberg? Fuck that guy.
He hates black people.
But he'd be like, what? Hey, speaking of black people, DJ Paul is here.
Well, he's from Memphis, so.
Hello.
Speaking of a black city. A wonderful city with some soul to it.
So
Memphis and delicious food.
Memphis 10.
Man, super good food, man. Super good food.
DJ Paul. How long I've known you, Paul? A long time, right?
Yeah,
you never known me to be an asshole.
No, I'm just joking. No, man. It's the coolest dude on the planet, man.
When did you guys first meet? MTV days, son?
Nah, before that. I'm gonna say
I wouldn't even remember.
It was in a studio.
You were trying to get a beat for Cuckoo Cow?
No, before that.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe Nori introduced us.
Huh. Nori knows everyone.
Nori does know everybody.
You know Nori, Paul?
Yeah, of course. We did records together.
I think
in the 90s.
Remember he had a studio like.
So I'd have had to meet you probably in the late 90s.
Definitely.
Mid 90s.
It's been a long time.
Mid 90s.
DJ Paul.
Teddy Clubo came out in 97.
It was way after that. It was probably like Project Pat time, somewhere around there. It was way after Tear the Club Up.
Okay.
Sife, here's
late
90s.
I
don't even care anymore. It's gone too long.
I made a mistake.
I know exactly what it was.
It was at Relativity Records.
There you go.
With Gangsta Boo.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, so late 90s.
Late
90s.
Like 90s. Probably 98, maybe?
Yeah, like 98.
Yeah.
Did you get Gangsta Boo signed to Relativity?
She was signed to us, and then we signed with Relativity.
All right, Sife, now here's the thing.
Tear the Club Up.
We have a somewhat limited time today, right? You have some stuff you have to do.
Yes.
It looks very fancy.
Yeah.
Much nicer than everything else I've ever seen us do over here. Looks beautiful, actually.
Yeah.
This is normally a week when we would have not gotten to do the podcast. And I was like, you know what? Fuck that. We got to do it. And then I heard DJ Paul's in town. I'm like, this is great. So that said, we have limited time. So people are going to be pissed off at first. They go, oh, what is this, a 45-minute one Epstein? But I don't know. Hold on. I wanted to make sure we did something good and something special. So we have DJ Paul here. My question to you, Sife, where do we focus? This is a long story.
Don't do any of the...
Post-Oscar?
Yeah, no Oscar shit. We already know all that. That shit was all on the internet. I want to know the beginning. Like,
you want to go to the Dirty Dirty.
Dirty. Because these guys, original independent record owners, did movies, hip-hop street movies before everybody in the world was doing them, had people signed to them, had compilation albums. These guys here, 3-6, woo!
So,
that stands for the devil.
I didn't know that.
Just letting you know.
His Instagram is the devil.
So DJ Paul, first of all, are you first a DJ?
Yeah. Kind of. How it happened was my brother let me borrow $7,000. I was in like the
off to a good start.
Yeah, like the ninth grade. So basically, I went and bought a turntable.
Was your brother already on?
He was selling drugs.
Oh, he was on in the drug game.
Yeah. Pharmaceutical drugs. Seven. Pharmaceutical drugs.
Got it. Okay. He was a pharmacist.
Yeah. So I bought a turntable, a mixer, a 4-track recorder, a microphone, and a keyboard. And that was it. So I basically just started DJing as a way to make mixtapes to play other people's songs and slowly squeeze in my records in between.
Solo records?
No, it was me and my brother Lord Infamous.
Okay.
Rest in peace. So,
so this is your other brother who gave you the money, not Lord Infamous.
Yeah, Lord Infamous, he was my age. We was young. He was a little older than me. But it was an older brother. He was 10 years older than us.
Lord Infamous and this other brother, are they your actual full blood brothers?
The other brother was. Lord Evans was my nephew. We just grew up together.
So you grew
He's
up
your
like
nephew,
brother.
But he was older.
Yeah, like 2 years, which is weird. I was the uncle.
Right. Okay, exactly. But he's okay. But he's like your brother, and this older brother is your actual older brother.
Yeah, that's my actual older brother.
So he gives you 7 G's from his pharmaceutical sales that he's doing. You buy a studio, and do you know how to make music at this point? You just trying to figure this shit out?
I was trying to figure it out. I had ideas, like I had. You know, back in those days, you know, when drum beats was a break beat.
Yeah.
So you just sample, loop that motherfucker, and then just throw some music over the top of it. So I just that's what I was doing. So I would DJ, so like I would put one of my little songs on there, which was kind of one of the best songs in the world.
Of course. Shit was probably amazing.
You know, just in case.
Just in case.
If they don't like it.
Which wouldn't make any sense.
I got an NWA record. Right. Come on.
Right around it. That was called Sandwiching Hits.
No. He was sandwiching their song.
Yeah.
He was trying to help out NWA. So play their song, throw DJ Paul's songs around it.
Yeah. Were
you, now, your name was...
And it eventually got like that, though.
It really did.
Well, by the time I got up to volume 4, it was all of my music except maybe like 2 songs at the end.
Now this makes sense. This makes sense of why technically your debut album was called Volume 16.
Yeah, it took me that long to get them up there, right?
Because it took that to get So was your name DJ Paul then?
Yeah, it was DJ Paul.
Always?
I used to have another name that I'm not going to mention.
You have to.
No, you have to.
That's part of the show, dude. That's what the show is. How bad was it?
Listen, DJ Astro wants to know your name.
I'll tell you something funny about my other name.
Was it FedEx?
It ended up becoming the logo of 3-6 Mafia. So it stayed around. And it was Grim Reaper.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's,
so that was your name?
That's a good rap name.
Yeah, Grim Reaper. That's perfect.
DJ Grim Reaper. That's whack.
By the way, but there was another Grim Reaper later in the Gravediggers. Well, it was
I'm sure there's 100 of them.
Yeah, probably many great Grim Reapers.
So I got rid of the name. I didn't choose to get rid of the name. It's just the dude that I was producing before my brother, he could never remember my rap name. He would always be like, DJ Paul. I'm like, dude, that's not my name. My name is the Grim Reaper.
Let me take a guess here. Your real government name is Paul.
Yeah, Paul.
So you officially have the least creative name in the history of rap.
Exactly.
No, Keith Murray. At least he has DJ in
it. Is that his real name?
Yeah.
Always real name.
Yeah.
But the funny part about it is, everybody that's a rapper now, their name is a regular name.
Yeah, a lot of them.
It's kind of a thing now. Yeah.
What's your last name? Lamar.
What's your last name, Paul?
Super Catcher Fragilis or SBI Adocious.
Oh, wow.
No, that's a weird name. Yeah. I was going to say, I wonder what your name would sound like with DJ Paul, whatever your last name is on.
No, that'd be all bad.
It'd be all bad.
My last name is a French name.
What is it? People still. You're getting legal money.
My name, Beauregard.
DJ Paul Beauregard.
Listen, playing all your favorite house records. DJ Paul Beauregard.
Exactly. He sounds like you have a radio show in Germany.
Yeah, exactly.
It's me, DJ Paul Beauregard. Changes everything. History is completely rewritten.
Hey, man, I probably didn't do that.
So the shit starts building, and you started popping in your high school? Where were you in school?
High school. I brought up my first tape in 10th grade. In the 9th grade, 10th grade. So it happened quick. It happened real quick. Shit just stopped popping overnight. It was fucking...
What
was happening in the scene before, like while you were there, other rappers from your area?
Yeah, it was other rappers from Memphis. You know, we had Juicy, Project Pat, and some other dudes. A dude named Skinny Pimp. That's who I really started.
Skinny
producing.
Skinny Pimp. Yeah,
I heard a lot about him.
Yeah, I started producing.
Wait, is there another dude? Thomas something the third.
Tommy Wright the third.
Yeah.
How do you know that, Syfe?
Back in my Indo G days when I was down there in Tennis Memphis 10.
Yeah, Indo G.
Oh, wait. So I have a question. So is Skinny Black in the movie?
That was I used to produce the dude Skinny Pimp, and I produced a dude named Gangsta Black. And when they wrote the movie, they kind of put their names together and
made Skinny Black.
They never said that, but everybody think that's what they did.
Right.
Is Luda Skinny Black in the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah,
because Ludacris is a light skinned dude like Skinny Pimp. Skinny Pimp was a big rapper back in the day in Memphis.
Okay, so do you know Juicy J then, or you just know of him?
I knew of him, but I eventually met him through another dude I produced. So I met Juicy like early into it, like 91.
Where are you 92. Producing all these records? In the crib?
Yeah,
with the same equipment.
Closet. I mean, vocals in the closet.
Yeah.
drum machine, all that stuff with keyboard was on the dresser. A small room about the size of a table right here. Hot as hell.
And do you start making any money in high, like that early?
Yeah, yeah. The first tape that I brought out, me and Lord Infamous, we sold 200 copies of it, which is pretty cool. And,
like, you know, by hand.
Yeah.
Just, like, how much? How much? School. How much per tape?
$4.
$4. That's the kind of prices I was working with.
Yeah, $4.
We sold all our tapes for $4. $4 was a good tape price, I thought.
Yeah.
And that way you made $3 per tape, basically. Because by the time you went, or I guess it depends on how many blanks
you got. Well, now, my dad had a Sam's card.
Back then.
Yeah, so we would go get it. They would sell a big plastic thing, like 40, 50 tapes.
Oh, so it was better than that. You were making almost $4. You were making $3.50 a tape.
Yeah.
Does it transition to parties? Like, it became like a big thing, or like?
Yeah, it got real big. Cause what happened was, I was like 10th grade, you know, 11th grade. So a lot of people that I sold the tapes to at school was graduating and going to the Army and college and all that. So they would take the tapes with them. And they'd be like, man, you ever heard of DJ Paul and 36 Mafia, 666? It was 666 Mafia then. And they'd be like, no. And then when they let the friends hear, the friend end up stealing the tape.
Yeah.
When they come back home,
they got to get another one.
Yeah, they got to get another
one. So then when they come back home, you got a new one for sale.
Yeah.
Are they saying, yo, I need that old one back?
Well, you can still buy the old ones. Because we sold them in the, we eventually got them in the stereo stores. And they would
have them all there.
And you could buy all of them. And people were just coming in and buy every single one of them.
How many do you have now?
Man, I don't know, man. Between all the albums and all the mixtapes, a couple of fans told me we got like 98 CDs out.
Shit.
I don't know how many we got.
Do you actually have copies of these old tapes?
Yep.
Where they at? Like in a basement somewhere?
No, they're in a bag in a closet.
Isn't that funny? Like, you probably have all
4-track tapes, the original masters. I'd be putting that shit out for sale. They'd be buying the hell out of that shit.
Oh, so you can still buy the cassettes?
Not the cassettes. I remastered it and put it out on CD.
All the old shit.
Not all of it.
A lot of it.
I did two of them so far.
You can't get those.
I did the Volume 16 and Paul and Lord Infamous, Coming Me to Hell.
Wow, that's crazy.
But isn't that weird, all the stuff you probably have in your house, but like we end up not caring about a lot of the random important stuff. Like, you would think maybe the thing you display in your house is the first tape. Like, this is it.
Yeah.
Instead, that's buried somewhere.
Now, my first tape was one of the ones that was, you know, the sandwich deal.
So it's not that special.
Yeah.
And the artwork.
It'll only be like two songs.
And the artwork's probably.
Number four is when they got special. That was when I started producing Skinny Pimp.
Yeah.
And that's when, you know, Lord Infamous was getting his learning how who he wanted to be.
Yeah.
Were you a cool kid? Were you like accepted right away as being cool? Or were you kind of a nerd because you were so into like making this music?
No, I was a gangbanger. So I was already known all over school for being a badass. I got kicked out of school for fighting. I didn't even make it to the 12th grade. I got kicked out in 11th grade.
Did you still make time to gangbang even when you were making all this music?
Now, hell no. No, that was a long time ago, man. I was a teenager.
No, but so like
no, back then.
But back then, yeah.
Oh yeah.
How do you still have
the
time?
The funny part of it with that is the rival gang would have to sneak and buy the tapes from me. So they like meet me around the corner behind the school.
Shut up.
Sorry, God. True story. They couldn't be seen buying the tapes from me because they wouldn't look right.
How do you even start that conversation though? Like, I don't even fuck with you.
Well, we had a mutual partner that wasn't a gangbanger, but he was from their neighborhood.
You all grew up together, and then once you get to high school, that all that fucking macho shit comes to play.
Yeah, exactly.
But you still know the kid from sixth grade.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's in the other gang now.
Yeah.
Okay, question.
That's basically it.
Do you see and have friendly relationships with anyone who was like a bitter gang villain from back in the day?
Man, most of those dudes are dead, in jail, or back in Tennessee somewhere.
I guess that's the downside of the whole gang thing in the first place. You don't have like reunions where you see everyone.
It would be
pretty empty.
All them dudes 40 years old.
They out.
They're out. Yeah. So you don't see them at the club these days.
But like I was saying, like you ever ran in, maybe not a rival gang member, but how, like you go and do a show, I don't know, Vegas or somewhere, and somebody's like, "Hey, I grew up with you." Like.
No, everybody cool. Everybody from back in those days, man, you know, they was real proud of us. So everybody was excited, you know, that it happened. And the movie with the hustling flow, that it just brought the city together a lot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, everything was cool. Now, some of those old rappers, yeah, we still into it. Really? We still hog over Instagram and all kind of shit.
No! There's dudes that you still, that have been going at you since 1995,
92. We said a couple of their names already. Tummy Wright, I'll tell you something funny about Tummy Wright, cocksucking ass. He said, but I don't know this for I haven't seen this with my own ass, but somebody told me that he sell our old tapes online or somewhere.
You what?
Told me Tummy Wright sell our old tapes online somewhere.
He sells them.
He sells the old tapes.
Those volumes.
Right.
I don't know how true.
But how do you? What about you? Can't. But what if that's not true?
He sells them.
They said Tummy Wright did.
Now, would you be mad if he's selling the tapes? Are you mad?
I mean, I'm not mad. He need the money. So.
Oh, come on. How often do you guys see each other? Like the people you have a relationship like that with?
I never seen him. I only met him one time in my whole life.
Oh my God. What's the beef about?
You were just both rapping at the same time?
We didn't have a beef back then. No, we was cool. We didn't have a beef back then.
Okay, good. Well, I don't.
So when you started blowing up and people started getting jealous?
Yeah, everybody got jealous. You know, all the old rappers that weren't around no more. They just kind of, you know, obviously.
Well, yeah, you know, by the way, and I need to say this. I think I've said this to Juicy before, but like, you know, don't be a dick because not everyone gets to be young for fucking ever like you guys. All right.
Yeah.
You just because you guys got the fucking magic code and someone was like, hey, you're going to get to just be relevant forever.
Man, I hope so, man.
Does Juicy ever do anything and you just send him a text and you're like, hey, yo, go fuck yourself, Juicy?
No, hell no.
Like this guy, we were just with I was just interviewing Robin Thicke at the radio station. He's like, yeah, you know, just did a song with Juicy J. Yeah. I was like, I mean, of course you did, because that's all he does. Yeah. It's just the songs with Robin every big artist. He was like, yeah. He was like, and I figured out, and Sif, I'm understanding how Juicy shit just happens nonstop. Yeah. He goes, yeah, we were in a studio doing another song. Juicy was just in the next studio, wandered in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Juicy, you want to jump on this song? Verse was so good. Did another one. Like, I don't want to go, because I don't, Sif's right, I don't want to go down the path too much of everything that's happened recently, but is there ever a time when you're like, this is crazy? It's crazy how it worked out.
Yeah, it's crazy. We've been, this is our 25th year, man. It's just
shit.
Long.
Like, you want to go
blessed, though. The thing about it is our sound was before time. It's time.
Yeah, that's true.
It is. So it does make sense to a certain degree.
But like, yeah. I remember I went to DJ in Japan once, right? This is when I first started going there. And this was at a Marine base.
And the guy, that's the best one.
The promoter was like, you know, he's like a Marine dude, but he's like the promoter of the event. He was like, listen, he's like, I can't tell you what to do. Please do not play Tear the Club Up. That's all I'm asking
we,
you.
We did a show in Japan through a dude from Memphis that was in the Marines or something. He a promoter out there. Yeah. Probably was the same dude. Was it a black dude?
Yeah.
Probably was the same dude.
And he was like, all I do is beg of you. He's like, these South niggas, they don't know how to act when that song comes out. I'm like, what do you mean? It can't be that bad.
So what happened?
I played it.
Okay.
Of course you played it.
Fucking riot. These Marines beating the shit out of each other, yo. Then that Marine police came running in, broke it up, da da da. So I'm thinking, all right, I'm starting to pack up. The party's over. They're like, all right, just please don't play that again. And I'm like, this is gonna go on?
The party's still.
They're like, yeah, no, this we have to. You have to play for you know to the end of. I'm like, all right.
Exactly.
And they was acting crazy with other songs too, but they were like that song. Nah.
Is there one night that's the craziest of that period, or were there just so many nights where the club just got literally where you just lived the song?
The craziest Tear the Club Up story that I have is one day we was the show promoter wouldn't pay us. We went there to do the show and he was like he didn't have the money or whatever this and that. So I bagged my Suburban up all the way over the curb, through the grass, up to the front door of the club, and opened the back door, kickbox.
Right,
and started playing Tear the Club Up real loud. We were standing on top of the truck, acting a fool, acting monkeys all over the place, and everybody started tearing the fucking club up outside, like threw shit through the windows, and broke the front door, and man, they tore that motherfucker apart, and then we got in the car and drove off.
You never got a riot inciting charge during that time?
No, but we had some lawsuits.
You were banned from some spots, right?
Yeah, we banned from some spots. The song.
Why
was
would
banned.
You make a song? I always wanted to know this. This is a stupid question, but now as an adult,
I know where you're going to go with this.
Why would you make a song to ruin the place that is booking you, promoting you, and paying you?
Because you might don't get booked there no more, so shit, you might well have fun with it at one time.
No, but that's night of. I'm saying you forward-thinkingly made a
song.
Yeah,
like, tear this club up, man.
Yeah.
Where do we do most of our shows? Clubs.
All right.
Where do we make our money?
Clubs.
Mm-hmm. Why do we make a song destroying clubs?
You got to make the fans happy. Fuck the club.
Exactly. It was
if
about
the fans
people.
Have fun, you know, the club will figure out a way to replace
okay, be honest. Did you ever have a moment when you were performing the song, you were at a club, is happening and you actually got a little freaked out like shit, we need to kind of pull back on this might not be good?
Yeah, one time in a Little Rock, Arkansas, because they hard out there, they game banging their ass off.
Sife, do you know how much money you'd have to pay me to go? And actually, no, I'd actually pay to go at this point, but at the time, if you'd be like, hey, do you want to go to this 3-6 show? It's at a club in Little Rock.
Man, it was
that
crazy.
Shit must have been okay. So what happened?
We was a little nervous. So I was like, look, I was like, I don't think we're gonna be able to do the whole show because I know they're gonna get to fighting. So I said, let's just go out there and let's do the hardest songs first.
I thought you were gonna go the other way around. Let's tone it down.
No. So what we did was we came out, we did tear the club up, and then right after that, we did this song called "Hit a Motherfucker."
Yes.
And then we took stink bombs out and dropped them on the stage in them little glass you step on.
Yeah.
We dropped out. Everybody dropped maybe 30 of those out, and between the fight and then the club being funk as hell, they shut down the show. I was like, good, we was already paid. We got our money. We went the hell back.
Your plan worked perfectly.
Oh,
it worked
God.
Perfectly.
Oh my right. God! I'm trying to find. I want to. There's three. You know, let's see. First song that comes up. What do you think when you go on Spotify? What do you think your most popular are?
My most popular song, mm-hmm. Probably "Stay Fly."
That's right.
"Stay Fly." Yeah, that was our biggest record.
And then what do you think second is?
Wait, is that record before or after "Hustle and Flow"?
Before, it was right before "Hustle."
Right before, yeah.
Like a year before.
Yeah.
Yeah, a year before.
Let's see. Is "Hit a Motherfucker" on your on your greatest hits?
Mm-hmm.
It is?
Yeah.
Still getting my dick sucked is.
Yeah, okay.
Sipping on some scissor.
Got it. Sipping on some scissor is amazing. Who run it is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see "Hit a Motherfucker" on here.
What?
"Hit a Motherfucker." It's on there.
That's some bullshit.
Well, you never know what these are. Weak ass bitch.
Weak ass bitch.
When was the last time you guys did a show that was just absolute psychotic madness? Like it didn't feel like post Oscar time. It felt like you were back in Tear the Club Up days.
I don't know. I can't remember, man. We done did so many crazy shows.
So
LA, which one in LA? House of Blues? The last one?
I don't know.
I don't remember that one.
LA.
Oh, yeah. We did a show in L.A. Maybe like 2009 or something, 2008 or 9. And the blacks and the, it was at the House of Blues on Sunset, and the blacks and the Mexicans got to fighting. And then then they got to fighting, then they kind of joined sides and got to fighting with the club security. And it was a riot. And it was maybe like 40 police cars up and down Sunset. We was in West Hollywood. Helicopter. A girl from Australia that was just there that I met at a Thai restaurant earlier that day. It was her and a friend. I had invited them to come there. So I gave them some passes to get in. And when we walked outside, they had her on the news on a stretcher.
Oh, shit.
She not the girl you invited.
Yeah.
That's fucked
up. She was like one of the only persons that got fucked up in there. Like, she tried to run down the stairs, which is, you want to stay away from stairs in a club when a fight breaks out.
Terrible. That's a terrible.
Yeah, it's a terrible move, man. I'd have hit in a corner or something first, and then she got stampeded or something. Her leg got broke.
Oh, it's the worst when you invite someone to a club to visit you and they get stampeded or destroyed.
Yeah, that's terrible.
What about, I've never heard this one. Slob on My Knob?
You never heard that one?
No. Big on the bed
and give me that.
Oh, maybe I have.
It's like a Chopped and Screwed.
Oh, this is maybe the best Chopped and Screwed.
Yeah, you look so Chopped and Screwed.
You have the best of Chopped, regular and Chopped and Screwed?
I know. Nah, we didn't put out a best
somebody just does them. Yeah, people just do those.
Okay, so real quick, before we talk more about things like Slob on My Knob and Ass Clap and fuck that shit,
ass clap.
I want to give a shout out to our friends at Squarespace.
They gotta get a shout out.
Oh, 100%. DJ Paul, if you're ever considering putting together your own, you know, maybe moving forward, you decide you have, I know you're a businessman. I know you have many business ventures in the food area and many different places. Mm-hmm. And should you decide to start a new business, let me recommend you go to squarespace.com, use the code WANEP. They'll give you a great deal. You could build your own website, you could have your own store. Life is incredibly easy with Squarespace.com.
Can I build a porn site with them?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, perfect.
They don't discriminate. They regulate. So so go to Squarespace.com. Use that code WANEP. Seriously, if you're trying to build a website, it's incredibly easy, and they support the WANEP podcast.
Thank you.
Squarespace, build it simple. So hold on. We jumped way ahead. Let's jump.
Yeah, so hold on. What about, like, when do you start getting artists signing to you, putting out these compilations?
Oh, that was
and the movies. I need to know about the movies.
The artist signed to us was first. You know, we started signing artists like the mid-90s, early 90s, actually. Yeah, like 94.
That early?
94.
Signing artists.
Yeah, because we brought out the first nationwide 3-6 Mafia album in 95.
Okay.
And then 96, we brought out, you know, Gangsta Black and Skinny Pimp and all of them. So the movies came in 2000.
Wait, you put out those records?
Yeah,
Black and Skinny. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, they signed us. So the movies came in 2000. In 99, that's when we made the first movie. And it came out. And it was Choices.
Choices
1.
By the way, I have an embarrassing rap admission here.
Yeah.
Never seen Choices.
Come on.
Oh, man, you got to see it, man. It's a classic.
I've never seen Choices. I've heard such good shit about it. Is this all under Hypnotized Minds? Like, what's this under?
Hypnotized
so just Mind. Hypnotized Minds Presents or whatever. You have all these things.
Yeah.
How big is Choices when it comes out? And how did you know how to make it?
It was huge. It went out through Relativity. So basically, we just put together we hired a producer. And he just helped us produce it. We wrote it, and we scored and we acted it. Me and Juicy.
Who's Hypnotized Mind?
Me and Juicy.
Just you and Juicy?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we wrote it, scored it, acted in it. We did everything. And we cast other people from L.A. We shot it in L.A. and Memphis.
And how did it do? How did it sell?
I did real good. It went double platinum.
The DVD did?
Yeah, DVD. We sold them for $20, $22 a piece. That was good.
Shit.
So, okay, real quick. So could you basically, because you seem obviously like a dude who's on point, could you basically be pretty well-to-do just off of the movie, just off of Choices? That's pretty good money. So if you don't like that, the money.
Not just that.
Because other people had their hands in the pot. Relativity had their hand in the pot. So there were other hands in it. It's not like you guys were getting straight up $20 on each.
But we did
a joint venture, though, so we got 10.
Okay.
We did a split with them on that. And then we made the soundtrack.
The soundtrack was big, too. Was it? Okay.
Yeah, there we go.
You're producing all this music. Mm-hmm. You and Juicy, both of y'all produce?
Yeah.
And both of y'all physically hands-on the equipment?
Yeah.
What's your equipment of choice?
MPC.
To this day?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which MPC you got now?
The Renaissance. I still got all my old ones, though.
Yeah. You like the Renaissance?
Yeah, I love it.
I'm thinking about getting it. I feel like I need another machine to sit in my house that I don't use ever.
Yeah, get the Renaissance. It's a good one to put in your house.
Yeah.
People do love the Renaissance.
Yeah. It got glitches, but it's cool.
NPCs always have. That's what makes it fire.
I find them so hard to use.
You just got
to
keep saving.
What are you?
I have a 1000, and I'm terrible.
ASR 10?
Yeah, ASR 10. No, I don't know how to use any of them. But I just find that as like an Apple person and someone who generally gets editing technology well, I find, and I know people, producers will think I'm weird for saying this because y'all get it, MPCs to me are counterintuitive. Like, they're not natural. You have to really work at it, I feel like, to make it like instantly intuitive.
Once you got it, you got it.
I just struggle with it. I don't know.
I know how to work the shit out of an MPC. I'm not saying what comes out of it is good.
right.
But technically,
So what's the biggest selling album?
The most known unknowns. The one with Side to Side and Stay Fly. Popping My Collar, all that shit.
Platinum?
No, we sold like 4 million on it out.
Quadruple platinum. Yeah. That's pretty good. And then Choices does double platinum as a movie, and the soundtrack does gold.
And we did a Choices 2,
Man, Choices 2, of course.
Yeah, Choices 2. It did real good as well. And then and then we did a movie called Clean Up Man.
And did that do well, too?
Yeah, that one did pretty good, too.
Did any good actors, did anyone who go on to do other stuff come from any of these movies?
It was people that was already known actors in them. I ain't going to say nobody that wasn't a known actor did anything else. But, I don't know.
And did you guys, and who came up with the budget? Did Sony provide the money and you had to pay them back?
Yeah, Sony provided the money.
And they paid the producer?
Yeah.
And then they took their cut back and you guys made after that?
Yeah.
Were they surprised generally? Was Relativity generally surprised with how well you were doing? Because, like, for East Coast people like us, you know, like, Tear the Club Up Thugs was something you see the ad for in the source.
Yeah.
And at first, you don't even know what it is, yeah. Right? Like, you understand how regional shit was then.
Yeah, yeah.
Y'all would see it and go around. Like, was the label surprised generally at just how well you were doing? Like, these guys are wrong.
I ain't gonna say they were surprised. I mean, it was doing good for so long that, you know, that they was just rolling with it.
Yeah. But like, with it, baby.
Because I was just saying, I on the East Coast, we didn't know until those records blew later. I didn't know what this whole movement was that was happening that was so big with them. And then Tear the Club Up comes up and comes out, and it's just, I'm like, oh, this is a whole thing. And then it just continued to roll. And like, I'm somewhat aware, but I'm not gonna lie, Seth, it is a gap in my knowledge.
Yeah,
I only know the biggest stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I know that
I was into that kind of stuff. I was into like learning about independent music and all that stuff. So yeah. I wasn't really, sometimes I didn't even know the music. I just would hear about it. Like, and also like, even like, well, Ralph McDaniels on Video Music Box used to play some of the early videos. Mm-hmm. But then like, you know, there's always those things in the Source magazine. Like,
yes, that's what I was just saying.
Yeah.
That, like, you're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Is this the whole thing? Mm-hmm. So when does Pat and Boo and everyone come along?
We brought Pat's first album out in 98. We brought out his first album.
And did the first one pop off?
And Boo's too. Like late 90s, but we brought out both of their albums.
And did they both pop off right out of the gate?
Yeah, yeah, of course. Because they was produced by us and they was in the group. So just like spinoffs.
How do you feel about the concept of don't save her, she don't want to be saved? Is that necessarily true?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's true.
You've never tried to save?
Oh, no.
Never?
Not that kind. Not that kind. You got to know which one's to save and which one's not.
So there is some saving.
Yeah.
But you can't save the ones that don't want to be saved.
Yeah, you can't save
don't
the
even
ones
try.
That don't
oh, so he's not saying don't save them ever. He's saying don't save her.
Yeah,
she
don't save her.
She don't want to be saved.
Yeah, her. Yeah, her.
Her.
Her. That one. Yeah,
her. Yeah, that she one. Actually wants to be saved.
Well, you never spoke about her, though.
Yeah, that's the thing. They didn't specify.
The one that wanted to be saved.
Yeah, yeah.
What like, don't save her. She don't want to be saved. But her over here, she needs a little help.
That was the follow-up. You should save her. This one wants to be saved.
And we didn't get a chance to make the remix.
No.
No. And what was your... Were you guys doing everything for these albums?
Yeah.
For full production, helping with writing too?
We wrote them. We wrote them. Everybody wrote their own verse. We wrote... Me and Juicy wrote most of the hooks. Lord Infamous wrote hooks too.
So how was Lord Infamous always involved? I know he passed away a couple of years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
He but up until involved. Then, he was always involved.
Yeah. Toward the end, he got kicked out the group maybe in 2003.
Yeah, I remember this.
Yeah.
So, why?
Man, just partying too much.
That's a bad sign. If you're partying too much,
but
for
did
three,
he have
six,
another name? What was his real name?
Ricky Dunnigan. But they call him Lord Infamous the Scarecrow. Some people call him Scarecrow.
Yeah, I remember he used to come around like when you used to do MTV and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember when he got kicked. He got kicked out before Stay Fly and all that.
Yeah, yeah, like the album before that.
Yeah.
Did he come back? Ever?
You had to kick your nephew. No,
you had to kick his nephew out.
Yeah, you had to kick your nephew out.
Yeah.
That's fucked up, man.
He kind of kicked his own stuff.
Wait, so, but then you guys got? Did you guys get close again? Just not in the group. He just couldn't be in the group.
Yeah, we were always still family. He just he couldn't be in the group because he would party too much.
But he had money though.
Yeah, yeah, he had some money.
He was good. He wasn't a bum in the street.
When he passed away, was it completely unrelated to his partying or anything, or was it related to that?
Yeah, it was. He just had a heart attack. Kind of in his sleep, kind of.
That sucks.
So yeah.
He was not being good to himself during that whole time, and y'all tried to get him to pull his shit together, and he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And you guys at that point can't really risk fucking this whole thing up, because this thing is now like
steam engine.
Yeah. By the early 2000s, you guys are like, this, we're setting up for life.
Yeah. Mid 2000s, that's when it went nuts.
Well, how long was that movie in the works though? Like, because for us it was kind of random, right? It's like
Hustle and Flow.
Yeah, we're like, wow, 3-6 movie.
He had been talking. Craig Brewer had been talking about it for a long time. It just took him a while to get it together. You know, when he joined with John Singleton, that's when they made it happen. But he had been telling us about that movie for a long time, because he kind of based it off of our movie choices. He used to tell us that he wanted to make a movie. Him and John Singleton used to tell us that they wanted to make a movie in Memphis like we did. And they did it. And they put us in it, thank God.
Do you know Jerry Lawler?
Yeah, I know Jerry Lawler. I met him a few times.
Who's that?
The wrestler.
Oh.
He's the king. He's king of Memphis.
Yeah.
Oh, the king of Memphis.
Yeah, oh. That's what I'm saying.
King Jerry Lawler.
King Jerry Lawler. Saif, I know you have to wrap here in a minute. You have many things to do. What are you promoting? I don't even know what you're here to do. I know you have something to promote.
Got a lot going on.
I'm just up here just enjoying the Thai food.
Really? Okay. You just came up for the Thai food?
That's for Thai
food. Guess what? I fucking love Thai food. It makes perfect sense.
No, this Tuesday, I think it's the 18th, I got a mixtape coming out called The Light Up The Pull Up. So we up here promoting that. And then it's just a lead up to the album, bringing out an album through Sony Red.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
Just you solo?
Yeah, October 30th.
All right, so this is like pre-promo, so we didn't need to overly aggressively talk about anything today. You're just setting up the mixtape next week and then album.
Yeah, mixtape come out Tuesday the 18th. It'll be everywhere. Make sure you go to my website, DJPaul36 with the number 3, number 6, 36.com. And I'm promoting the barbecue. Obviously, you talked about that.
Yes,
earlier.
Yes.
DJPaulBBQ.com. Make sure you go in there and get some of them sauces and seasonings.
Mm. He's the man. I fucking love that. I'm so jealous of that, by the way. I want my own sauces and seasoning.
Hey, you should make your own sauce, man.
I do.
Hey, you can go on that website deal you've been talking about and
Squarespace.
Do it.
I can go to Squarespace and make myself
a
new
site.
Rosenberg sauce.
There you go.
And by the way, Juicy J, shout out to Juicy J. I heard he was just featured on a new single, God. He's featured on God's new single.
Oh, really?
Yeah. God put out a record finally. And
God.
Literally.
God. No, God, literally. I'm above.
Jesus Christ has a song featuring Juicy J. He was like, God, you only get one feature. He's like, motherfucker, you know what I'm doing.
Yeah, I'm like, Juicy J. Somebody call himself God?
Yeah. Like, who is this?
The game's gone too far. They gave Prince hell about that. You remember he had a song called God back in the day. You remember that?
Yeah.
They gave him hell about that. They wanted to take it out to 45.
Now, we gotta wrap up real quick. Obviously, it'd be remiss if we didn't mention Sean Price before we go.
Oh, yeah.
What a fucking, that was a punch in the stomach.
Yeah,
saying.
Out of nowhere, right?
It's absolutely out of nowhere. And I had meant to get him up here.
Of course you did.
To do a show. I saw him all the time though. It's, you know what I mean? Like when someone passes away who you see all the time, you're just like, nah. Sean Price? I see him all the time. We're going to have him up here. It's not going to be a big deal. You remember at first I wanted him up here and he didn't like you.
He like me?
Yeah. You didn't remember this?
But I
fixed it. I was like, no, it's not like that. I don't know why these are the only two stories of people ever being mad at you that came out today.
Yeah, it's
but remember,
he did
your serious show and didn't like something about it.
Right.
And he had some sort of weird feelings about it. And you were like, what? No. Like, you don't even remember what it was.
Yeah, I kind of remember, yeah.
But I also think something about Sean was he was quick to make a read on people. I think he was often right. I think maybe sometimes he wasn't. But, like, he was someone who had, like... he made decisions about shit and he went with it. And like, you know,
and I respect that.
That's what he was. I mean, he felt that way about
everybody was like that.
He felt that way about Hot, you know, and when I interviewed him, I talked to him about, you remember why he wasn't allowed to go to Hot anymore, right?
No.
He wasn't allowed to go to Hot anymore because he went to go see Angie and I think Angie was keeping him waiting around or something and security had the phone. He grabbed the phone and hit the security guard with it.
Oh, yeah,
I believe
you know,
is
you
the
can't
story.
Do that. You can't, you can't do that.
They frown upon that. But that was in the Hell to Skelter days. But he is someone. Tell me how you feel about this theory, Saif, and our listeners I think will appreciate this. Sean Price is someone. He reminds me of Jay Dilla a lot in that. People after he dies are going to go, oh my God, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I can see that.
But that's not because there wasn't already a whole undercurrent of people who already felt that way.
Right.
Because there's already been people who have been like Sean Price for years, who thought he was
fanatics.
He's had them forever, but then when that kind of person passes away, those fanatics go to a different level. So he was an amazing guy. He was honestly the best dude. You know, I told the story on my tribute to him the other day, but you'll like this. When I saw him 3 days after the Nicki Minaj fiasco, I saw him at, in Brooklyn at the Duck Down Barbecue, and you'll love this. His response when he saw me was quoting Caddyshack. I go up to him and I'm like, "What up?" And he's like, "Is this him? The man who wrecked the buffet at the Herald's Club?"
That's not Caddyshack.
What is it?
Beverly Hills Cop.
Beverly Hills Cop. By the way, you should be ashamed, because I think earlier I said Caddyshack and no one's corrected me on that.
I have corrected you on that.
No. But like this week I've said it.
What do you mean?
Like I've said the same quote on another show and no one corrected me that quote
is from...
They
should have fucking corrected
you. I know, it's a disgrace. I know.
So anyways, tell him the guy who he wrecks the buffet with is Mike from Breaking Bad.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, who wrecks the buffet? Eddie Murphy?
He tosses Mike over the buffet.
So then who says that line to Eddie Murphy?
Is this the man that... he was the commissioner, the police commissioner.
And the police commissioner
said... Is this the man that wrecked the buffet at the Herald's Club?
Fuck, I kept thinking it was Caddyshack. I kept picturing Ted Knight for some reason. Rest in peace, Sean Price.
Rest in peace.
He was a great, great man. Man. DJ Paul.
What up?
Thank you very much, man.
Man, thank you for having
me. Glad
we
got to finally meet.
Me too.
Cool. You're a cool dude.
I got my times.
I know when I saw you recently and someone was like, "That's 3-6 Mafia. That's DJ Paul." Leaving Meek Mill's party, that psychotic house party Meek Mill had
at
BET weekend.
You was there?
Me?
Yeah.
Yes. I was already gone though. I was outside. I stood outside. Bieber walked by with like 9,000 people, and then 3-6 walked by with like, 7,000 people. No disrespect.
Yeah.
Bieber's entourage game right now is...
I hate that you actually brought that up.
Why?
I heard they're trying to sue every son of a bitch who brought a dick in that damn place.
Oh, really? Then I'll bleep out that where we were. And I wasn't there either. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Paul.
Thank you, man.
All right, we out.